familiar lesson. Parts of this you can see, especially on the back, on the talking about the blessings of suffering. And I know I've used some of those things over the years and thought what kind of tie several of these lessons together. So, but the title of the lesson is Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining. Every cloud. There's even a song I used to sing when I was a kid, when I was a youngster. I had to go back to some of the old song books. It hadn't been in the recent song books that we've been using, but there was a song in a book when I was a youngster called Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining. I think when I was a youngster back in Muskegon, Michigan, we usually sing the chorus in Vacation Bible School. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every cloud has a brighter hue. I don't know if you ever heard that song, but that's the name of it. But the lesson is, and this kind of captures the lesson, though the storm clouds rise about us, though the ark above is dark, round the cloud or after tempest, there is always heaven's mark. When the haze of ill surrounds us, when the heart is filled with fear, and the art of sin confounds us, there is help for souls sincere. There are nights of tears and sorrow. There are moments bleak and dim. Though the darkness shines the morrow, time will have its silver rim. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every plight has a brighter hue. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every care has a blessing, too. After night, a lovely morning. After storm, a calm anew. If we look for the silver lining, when the lamp of God shines through. I don't know if you ever heard that song, Every Cloud is a Silver Lining, but that's the song. In the Bible, we have the same message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, we're troubled on every side, not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul continues that same theme in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. And here's the list. Approving ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience. In afflictions. In necessities. In distresses. In stripes. In imprisonment. In tumults. In labors. In watchings. In fastings. By pureness. By knowledge. By long suffering, by kindness, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor. The list. Paul continues back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, really, light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. In chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the earth of the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we have the idea that we know that there's going to be suffering or hardship, struggles, trials, just in life. And it's real. It's not imaginary. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. Trouble is not any respecter of persons. Whether doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you think of yourself as a good person, if you're, I don't know, young, old, all nations. Struggles are with everybody. You know, kind of the most agonizing cry is why? And why me in particular? I mean, why are there troubles? Why in my life? You know, why the headache? Why the sorrow? Why the pain? Disappointment? Why the frustration? Why the disease? Why the heartbreak of psoriasis? You can add to that list. You know, I always see that advertisement on television. You suffer from the heartbreak. It's never just psoriasis. It's always the heartbreak of psoriasis. But we understand troubles, you know, trials. They're there. But I kind of put in your notes just a couple of things. Kind of, what causes them? Well, one is just the natural order of the universe. Just the way God made our surroundings. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God speaks those things into existence from the beginning. And then you look around at creation, we said this so many times, creation displays uniformity, displays balance. It displays an orderliness, not a confusing mess. And so we suffer when we violate one of those natural orders that God has put in place. If you jump off a tall building, it's going to hurt when you land. It's just a natural order of things. You violate laws of health, you're going to get ill. Laws of safety, you're going to get hurt. And we suffer from even nature's course of events, and even society recognizes them as, you know, acts of God. And so in the order of the universe, there are storms, and there are clouds, and there is fire, and there's flood, and tornadoes or hurricanes. We just know people suffer from just what we call natural or nature's disasters. So sometimes that's where hardships or struggles come from. Second, it might be because of the choice of others. When a nation declares a war, people's lives are hit with death and displacement, injuries. We see that in the news. And we see our veterans coming home wounded. So when a nation declares war over there, people even suffer here. When an employer makes a decision to downsize or relocate or go out of business, employees suffer. Somebody else's decision affects us. Other people's sins. You see that when the drunken driver kills the innocent, somebody else's decision or choice caused hardship in another person's life. The criminal's action. You know, he wreaks havoc in another person's life. So just the choice of other people causes hardship in our life, along with the idea of nature. Number three, I put because of our choices. Our choices. One, if you just make a choice, the scriptures we just read in the introduction, you just make a choice to become a Christian, there can be some struggles. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Just that choice that we make. You know, not everyone's going to appreciate our decision to live godly. Even some of our missionaries specifically face attack from rebels in the nations where they do their missionary work. Sometimes our choice of self-indulgence, it may be an abuse of a drug or alcohol, or just the excess could be of things that are legitimate. But you just take them to excess, and that's our choice, and we suffer for that. There could be honest mistakes. You know, I took the wrong road. Well, now I'm late. I suffer for that. Or I didn't leave in time. I didn't sign up. Oh, I wanted to be in that group. I'm sorry, you didn't sign up. Or I just forgot something. But, you know, just those, you know, I didn't mean to situation. Just, oops. Causes hardship. And then there's sin. And Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. So sometimes there's just choices that we make that cause struggles, either in my life or another person's life. I put number four just because of the devil's work. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18, Paul said, wherefore we would have come unto you, would have come, would have been there. Even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Oh, I mean, there's a force that's working in our world. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So just as God has his work in our life to give us strength and encouragement and a safe passage from here to heaven, the devil has his work too to kind of put stumbling blocks or roadblocks or speed bumps in our journey. There are a lot of causes for struggles, heartaches. And I put even your notes, even society adopts a motto or slogan to get us through tough times. You know, like the title of our lesson, we always say, every closet is a silver lining. Just to look for it. Anyone ever said to you, look on the bright side of this? Don't go back to that person for help. No, look on the bright side. Or somebody says, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, the finishing of that is, yeah, it's the train coming toward you. Gem cannot be polished without friction. You want to sharpen a knife, don't you put it to the stone and see the sparks? Yeah. Can't polish your shoe without buffing. It'll all come out in the wash. I mean, some things we've got to live with for a while. But not red stains, those don't come out. I've heard somebody say, he probably said the same thing, you know, one day we're going to look back on all this and laugh. Well, that's a lot of help. I'm in struggles right now. Well, I can't wait until we're laughing. I heard somebody say, you've heard the same expression too, all sunshine makes a desert. You've heard this with exercising, no pain, no gain. Oh, struggles, hardship, stress, you know, stress, the word stress, you spell that backwards, it's desserts. So, when you're stressed, eat ice cream. I just put this poem because I've used this poem before sometimes when I'm sad the subject of prayer. And remember Frieda Adams, when I read this poem, says, oh, I want a copy of that poem, Brian. But see, here's the poem. My father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I trust my Lord to lead, for Father knows the way. There's so much now I cannot see. My eye is still so dim. But come what may, I still can trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift and darkness turn to day. Then looking back, we'll praise His name who led us all the way. So now we come to that part in the lesson where it's just, where's the silver lining, Brian? We know now we have struggles, troubles, and trials. Where's the benefit, the silver lining, the blessing? Number one, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Well, we can amen that. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous. I don't enjoy hard times. But then it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, but it's unto them who are exercised thereby. I think when I read that verse, one key word that I highlight is that word afterward. Because you see, there'd be sometimes we're not going to see the silver lining till the trial is past. We won't know the benefit or the blessing till that hardship is over. We won't see it. Right now we're in the midst of the flood or in the midst of the fire. I don't see a good thing taking place, but when it's finished, when it's over, whatever it is, we think about going through the rigor of education and then you finally get the degree or the certificate or the credential. We go through our daily jobs. Oh, Monday morning, oh no. But yet, there's a paycheck at the weekend. We put salve on the sore so that it eventually healed. See, some things we don't see the benefit until it's at near the end. So in Christianity, you know, there's joys that we can share now, but there's an ultimate joy in the end. So that's why the Hebrew writer says, look to Jesus, not only the author of our faith, but the finisher of our faith. The ending of it. And then it says, you know, at the end, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Familiar verse in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. Those that love the Lord are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. All things. Might be a struggle. Might be a trial. You may not, again, it works together for good, but you may not see the good till later, till afterward. So that's one blessing in going through struggles or troubles or trials. We look forward. I always look forward when the struggle is there to its ending. To its ending. Number two, what they cause us not to be satisfied with this life. When I look at the troubles and trials of life, or just even my troubles and trials in life, I don't want to stay here. Yeah, it makes me realize that heaven is not on earth. When I see the struggles and trials of life and things that I'm going through, you know, it reminds us even of the songs that we sing. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We sing songs like, every day I'm camping toward Canaan's land. Or, here we are, but straying pilgrims. That's right. We're just passing through to Canaan's land is another song. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. See, heaven is not on earth. And when I see troubles and trials and struggles of life, it causes me to not be satisfied with life here. I look for something better. Number three, struggles of life cause us to be sympathetic toward others in their trials. And so we say, and I put a few things in your notes to get your thoughts thinking that along that direction. But when someone else is going through struggles, we can say, I know something about what you're going through. I may not experience the very same thing, but I've had troubles. I've had struggles. It may not be exactly what you are going on in your life right now. So I kind of word it that way. I may not have what you have, but I've had troubles. It causes me to be sympathetic toward others when they have their struggles. So in sympathy, we offer help to get them through their trial. So it's a blessing of suffering in our life. Number four, my struggles or my troubles cause us to have confidence in another trial of ours. Because I've overcome similar trials or just other trials in life, it gives me confidence that I can overcome this one too. We've overcome before. We say to ourselves, I can do it again. May not be a similar trial, but when I look at all the lesser trials in life that brought me safely thus far, and something new comes up, but I have this struggle, I know what to do. I got through this struggle because of this or that or the other. Pulled in all those resources. So here's another one. But because I've gotten through struggles before, I'll get through this one. That's a value or a purpose of troubles and trials. Number five, they give confidence to others that they can overcome their trials. So others are going to be looking at me. And they're saying, oh, look what Brian's going through. And then but if you have a similar struggle, you're going to say, you know, Brian went through this. And if he can do it, I can too. If he can do it, I can too. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to ask him how he did it. What did you do to get through that? I'm going through a similar struggle. So it's a value of struggles, especially when you overcome. You look at the examples in Hebrews chapter 11, and all these we call them, you know, these heroes of faith. By faith, you know, this person obeyed or did this. By faith, this person did that. So you read that, and what that does, if they can do it, I can do it too. Looking at the other people overcoming their struggles gives me confidence that I can overcome too. So when you overcome yours, it's a blessing that you may have in someone else's life. Number six, it gives us patience. Because through suffering, we learn how to suffer. Through suffering, we learn how to suffer. Romans 5, verse 3, we also rejoice in our tribulations. Why would I want to rejoice in tribulations? Because of that word afterwards again. He finishes the verse knowing that tribulation works patience. Oh, afterwards. When I've gone through it, oh, now I know what to do if another tribulation comes. I know exactly that this is not going to last. And I need to remain steadfast. It's through tribulations I've learned to be patient. In James 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. Know this, when you have those struggles or trials, that the proving of your faith works patience. I had that struggle and I stayed on God's side. Good. It yielded peaceable fruit. And so now another struggle comes along. I'm going to stay on God's side. I rejoice in tribulation because I know that God will be faithful and that there's help available. Number seven, they provide a check on our evil tendencies. I tend to stay away from those things that hurt me. At least I think I do. Knowing the consequences of an action, if I know the consequences are going to hurt me or hurt somebody else, don't do that. So struggles. If you've been hurt from a particular attitude or action, because now you're going through that hardship, you're saying, I'll never do that again. So we've learned. And so then, have peaceable fruit afterward. A little thing down here just in my side notes. Someone says, Brian, it hurts when I do this. I say, don't do that. It hurts. Don't do that. Number eight. They cause us to appreciate the good. So because I've been in the valley, I appreciate the mountaintop. Because I've been sick, I appreciate health. What do we do now? Mm-hmm. Appreciate health. Because I've seen the rain, I appreciate the sunshine. For some of you might want the reverse. I've seen the sunshine, I appreciate the rain. Because I've worked hard, I appreciate rest. Because I've experienced trials, I appreciate peace. The value, the benefit of struggles, it causes me to appreciate the good. The last one I have, number nine, is we know that God's teaching is verified. Psalm 119, verse 71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Wow, why? Because that I might learn thy statutes. Again, afterward. Point number one, afterward it yields peaceable fruit. Again, sometimes we don't know the value of something until it's over, until the end. You know, and God and the Father permits us to suffer some things because it's for our profit, because we learn. You know, as years go by, as people might have given me wise counsel, and afterward I think, boy, you were right the whole time. I learned my lesson. I know some people just have to learn the hard way. But I don't want to learn all my lessons the hard way. I'll learn from your mistakes, too. God could have kept, and I'll close with this idea, God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den. Could have. He could have kept the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He could have kept Paul and Silas out of jail. But he didn't. Because God's promise is not to keep us out of troubles and trials, but it's rather to go with us all the way and give us eternal deliverance. That's God's promise. In Romans 8, verse 17, if children, that's us, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Did Jesus suffer? And if the Savior suffered, why shouldn't the saved? If the Master suffered, why shouldn't the servants? If the teacher suffered, why should the students be exempt? No. So God could have kept His children out of all those struggles. Could have, but He didn't. But His promise was that I'll be with you all the way. So now He says in Romans 8, verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every cloud. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now remember, the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, and been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that task this evening. You simply need to let your resolve be known. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, or say, brethren, pray with me, pray for me, we can do that too. Just simply let your request be known while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you need to respond, or if that's your desire,